After 15 seasons of gunshot wounds, traffic accident trauma, and assorted mutilations, ER winds up on NBC with a two-hour series finale on April 2nd. The medical drama gave us a visceral view of an inner-city emergency room and the bumpy relationships of its resident staff and doctors. On The Daily Beast today, Dr. Mehmet Oz described his days as a resident when he said, "The show captured the ups and downs of touching another person's life when we filter out the BS. The piece is titled, ER Was My Other Med School. So if you work in an emergency room, what did you learn from ER? Tell us your story. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Dr. Mehmet Oz is vice chair and professor of surgery at Columbia University, and he joins us today from his office in New York. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Wonderful to be with you, Neil.
And what did you learn from ER?
Well, interestingly, one of the folks responsible for ER is Billy Campbell is his name. He's my roommate in college, and he would come and hang out with me in the emergency room at Columbia, New York Presbyterian Hospital, where I am now, but I was also an intern. And they would always put the interns who were from out of town in the emergency room because it was the best way for you to taste the culture of the community. And of course, the Columbia University emergency room is in Washington Heights. At the time, we had the highest homicide rate in the nation. And so Billy lived through this emergency room experience, which is one that I never could have imagined when I embarked on a career in medicine. And several years later, when Michael Crichton's piece, the plot and the screenplay came across his desk, and of course Michael Crichton went to the same institution as I was at, it reminded him of that experience. And it wasn't a big jump for him to say, you know what, if you could put in a bottle what it's like to be in an emergency room and see people who never want to be there, coming from all walks of life without having any expectation when the day started they would be there, it would make compelling television. And they were right.
And did patients later in your life reference ER when they came in to you talking about their expectations?
Absolutely. Folks would come in and, they'd compare us to, you're sort of like Doug before they knew who George Clooney was, or they'd make comparisons assuming that the life in the emergency room was fairly parallel to that they were watching on television. And by the way, they weren't that far off. And if you think about how they shot ER, it's sort of cool. You know how you pop in and out of a room from a patient's perspective anyway?
Uh-huh.
So they see us. That's just what the emergency room was often like. You'd pop in, you'd give them some big bit of news, and you'd go and read their life. And the cameras would follow the actors in and out of the rooms to try to capture that tension. The whole concept of the patient, part of being a patient is you got to be patient. You're waiting for news. In the meantime, these doctors and nurses and other allied health professionals have their own real lives. And how that life touches your life in that split second of time when it seems like eternity is really what ER in many ways was. And people would reflect that to us when they came to see us in the hospital.
And maybe the most important thing that you write about in your piece on The Daily Beast was that it revealed to all of us who one time or another in our lives end up in an emergency room, it revealed to all of us that those people who are in those white jackets are people too, and flawed human beings who sometimes make mistakes.
Well, as a physician, one of the first things you learn is that your perspective of what it's like to be a doctor is very different from what it is really like when you actually embark on the career. And for the reasons you mentioned, we have all kinds of external stressors. There are all kinds of intrigues, palace politics, of course, your own personal life. And all that does color how effective a healer you are. And I think in America right now, one of the biggest challenges we face is that physicians sense a lack of trust in what they're doing, and that influences their relationships with their patients. And so this whole thing sort of percolates through. And the interesting thing about television is that it ends up giving patients a confidence with the interaction because you now have insight into it. And ER, of course, with Chicago Hope at the same time and all the shows that are on television now sort of came out of that same newfound belief that we could actually move away from Marcus Welby, which was the model. And in the piece in the Daily Beast, I wrote, because I do think it's true, that the Marcus Welby vision is dead now. That's not what people expect from their doctors. And that significantly shifted how many of us in medicine interact with the patients around us.
Well, now all of us expect to have mysterious blood diseases that are going to take a whole hour to diagnose.
Well, in fairness, on the Oprah Winfrey Show, I'm the health expert. When we actually plan our scripts out, and there have been some very remarkable overlaps between our plots and the plots of these medical shows, and of course, we're trying to teach people about health, we have very much kept focused on the kinds of topics that shows like ER would look at. And we realized relatively early on that it was the emotion that drove people to change behavior. And the show, of course, talks about this, but not so directly. So the facts behind the illness are intriguing for moments. The emotion behind the recovery is really what the shows are about. You know, how do you cope with what you know, with what's going on? And I noticed the earlier commentary before I came on the air talking about hope and what it meant. And hope in medicine is not a cure. It's really more about being able to make sense of what the heck just happened to you. And that's what shows like ER began to stimulate in our consciousness within medicine.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. Mehmet Oz, Dr. Mehmet Oz is our guest today. He's calling us from his office in New York. If you'd like to join us, if you worked in an ER, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. What did you learn from the television program of the same name, which winds up its 15th and final season relatively soon? Let's begin with Mark. Mark with us from Lansing in Michigan.
Hi there.
Go ahead, please.
I used to be a paramedic, spent 13 years in the business. My last 4 years were in a level one trauma center here in Lansing, and it was right around the time ER came out. And my peers and I were impressed with the realism of the show. Of course, we joked about how quick things happened on the TV show versus in real life. But
those tests came back very quickly.
You know, it's amazing how quick those procedures happened that don't really happen that way in the real world. But I would get home from 12 hours worth of work and turned on the TV to see what was happening on ER, and about 15 minutes later, I'd be going, you know, I just left there. I don't want to watch this. I'd turn the TV off. And he was just, the organized chaos that they displayed there and the equipment that they all used was all real-life, in-the-trenches stuff that I finally got to a point where I just said, you know, I don't want to watch this on TV. I've been entertained by this all day.
Well, that sense of realism maybe went a little too far, Dr. Oz.
You know, it's an excellent point because working within a hospital, especially in an emergency room, really is choreographed chaos. And at the same time, when it's done elegantly, it becomes a dance. And so that fine line between when the test isn't done in a timely fashion, you're struggling with it, is sort of what jazzes you up in a way. You realize that you're going to make your own breaks for the people who trust you with their lives. And in an emergency room setting, that is what you do for 12 hours. It cultivates a certain type of personality. It's a little different from what you want to have if you're going into ophthalmology, for example, and wanted a sort of more organized pattern to your day.
Mark, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. We go now to Karen. Karen with us from Fairfield in California.
Hi. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm a doc. I'm a relatively young doc, and ER was at the height of its popularity when I was in medical school. And the first few years of your medical school are all classroom work, and we used to watch ER, kind of almost all of us, just dying to get in there and do the real stuff. And I actually stopped watching ER once I actually got into do real medicine because I thought it was pretty not accurate for what a medical student goes through, which is what Carter's role was.
Uh-huh.
I remember, you know, Carter getting called in to pump the heart when the chest was flailed open. You know, it was really disillusioning for a lot of us who went in thinking that ER was going to be just like what we did, and really kind of a disappointment for me.
Carter was the Noah Wiley part?
That's right.
All right. Well, he was cute, too.
I suppose you could hit, that's one theory, yep.
Well, you know, just to defend the show for a second, there are, of course, very different emergency room experiences around the country. Where I was practicing, as I mentioned, in 1986, which was the year of my internship, we had 2,200 homicides in Manhattan, in the, you know, New York City area, and, you know, led the nation. We're thankfully down to about 600 now, but I opened a chest almost every night, and I was an intern. And the medical students would have to take over doing some of the work on these people who were almost always mortally injured. And it became not unusual to have a medical student playing a fairly critical role when they were in their fourth year. So although that is a very different experience today, in fact, it's one of the most important and telling changes in medicine is the limited amount of experience medical students and residents now have as, you know, as independent practitioners, which, of course, is if you're out there listening and you're a patient, is a good thing because you don't have people practicing on you. But the negative is that it delays the maturation of physicians through the process because now you've got to be a bit more senior before people begin to trust you. But it, you know, in a war zone environment, which it was like at New York Presbyterian, and in many ways, and of course, the hospital, you know, the fictional County General Hospital in Chicago where ER set is more similar to where I was practicing than many ERs are today.
Well, Amanda, there is, excuse me, Karen. Cameron, there is this sense of, there's a great passage in The Simple Art of Murder by the great detective story writer Raymond Chandler, who says, advises people who want to write these stories, when in doubt, have a man burst into the room with a gun in his hand. And you always had the feeling that the script writers on ER said, when in doubt, have somebody shout, clear!
I don't think it reflects the vast majority of ER sites in the country. And for young medical students at the time, who some of whom probably applied to medical school to be like that, it's just not accurate.
Well, Karen, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thanks for taking it.
We're talking with Dr. Mehmet Oz about his piece in the Daily Beast that ER was his other medical school. His most recent book is You Being Beautiful. He's with us from his office in New York. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You're listening to Talk the Nation from NPR News. Georgia's on the line. Georgia from Folsom, California.
Hello.
Hi, Georgia. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I was been an emergency room nurse for about 20 years, and I can tell you that the side stories, the relationships between the nurses and the doctors, were just as accurate. The ER I worked in the Level 1 Trauma Center and other smaller ERs, and you develop close friendships with the doctors that you work with, and a lot of times they would turn into romances.
And Dr. Oz, the war zone atmosphere that you're describing, well, that engenders very intense relationships.
It does, and stress in general tends to do that, especially among men. That's one of the reasons they do risky things, because it's correlated with some of the drivers of romance. And certainly in this kind of a setting, when you're physically interacting with each other and you're going through some big ups and downs, as you try to save lives and sometimes succeed, it would pull people together. I wanted to, just on that point, raise another issue that perhaps other callers may have noticed, but for many Americans, on ER was the first time that they began to have their expectations changed about what a doctor was, you know, because they were female doctors. At the time, I remember that so frequently the female residents would be called nurses by the patients, and of course, that would be a disconnect when they found out they were the physician running their show. There were African-American doctors, Asian doctors, gay and lesbian doctors. And I also think the role of nurses was clarified in the show a little bit more, because nurses really run the show. They're so critically important, not just in emergency rooms, but in hospitals and in most facets, because they're your primary caregiver, that people began to respect what that position meant. Same, by the way, for physician's assistants and all the other folks who play a role in making the system run.
Georgia, when you leave the ER, does other medical practice seem a little pale in comparison?
Indeed it does. We have to find a way to be a gentler, kinder person. In a trauma center, you tend to be going at a fast pace, and the real gift and the real magic in that profession is to put the patient first and make their experience as good as you possibly can. That was the real lesson for me in all those years. I wasn't in the ER for me, but I was in it for them.
Georgia, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
So long. Let's go now to Amanda. Amanda with us from St. Louis.
Hi. Yeah, it's really good to be on the show.
Well, nice to have you.
My father is a hospital administrator, and because of that, and I think also because of his Navy background, I was conscripted into the medical service at a very young age. I've been working in medicine for 17 years now. But he's at a rural hospital with about 16 beds, and since going off on my own, I've done small places. I've worked in big 700-bed places, so I can really appreciate a lot of what other callers are saying. Both in, you know, I find it fascinating, but at the same time, it's the last thing I'm going to watch when I go home. My best friend Dave he worked for a period at a place that it's an online company that provides a service to doctors and medical students where they can access text. But one of the services that they have is they have a designated person whose job it is to watch shows like Chicago Hope, ER, any medical show. And that way when patients come in asking things like, hey, I think I have this weird blood disease,
uh-huh,
Doctors are already aware, hey, this was on ER last week, so heads up.
Right, yeah, House was talking about this just last night, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you do get people who, well, they see these symptoms on TV, they say, well, that's me.
Yeah, exactly. And there may be 20 people in the world who have this thing, but that's all I really wanted to say, and I'll take my comments off the air.
All right, Amanda. Thanks very much for the call. Again, you're talking about the patients' expectations of doctors. I think Amanda was talking about patients' expectations. Well, people can read a lot into symptoms.
One of the things that's most fascinating when you go to medical school, and every medical school class experiences this, is you diagnose each other with the rarest of illnesses. Almost every one of them are fatal. So the folks going through this experience go through the same thing we go through as we first are exposed to healthcare. And by the way, I think that in its essence, that's what was so cool about ER for me, that for many people, an emergency room experience was never going to happen in their lifetime. And here you had the opportunity to glimpse what it's like to actually be in the trenches. And, of course, with that comes the exact same very human response. You diagnose yourself with illnesses you don't have, but you also realize that you could become the world expert on your body, because the people who are taking care of you may not have read the same textbooks that you think you're reading from. In other words, we read books thinking you're going to come to us with organized illnesses. You don't as a patient. And if you want to be clear with us and help us do better for you, you've got to play a more active role. And if that's the single most telling result of this program and other medical programs that are on the air, then it was worth watching all of them.
And are you going to take a time out, 2 hours on April 2nd, to watch the finale?
I'm going to watch the finale. I mean, I started with the show. I might as well end with it. And maybe I'll see some other highly undiagnosable ailment that I'll learn about that I'll talk about on the Oprah show.
Dr. Oz, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
I love being with the show, Neil. Take care.
Dr. Mehmet Oz, a surgeon at Columbia University, a professor of surgery at Columbia University. His most recent book is You Being Beautiful, with us today from his office in New York City. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday, and Ira Flatow will be here for a discussion on science and policy now that stem cell research has gotten the green light again. Plus, should number-crunching physicists on Wall Street go back to string theory? That's all tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. I'll be with you again on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.